Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Here's one more day on hypocrisy. You may be getting tired of it, but brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if you really deal with this area in your life of double-mindedness, yes, I want to do this for the glory of God, but I hope this other person sees what I'm doing. Just do everything for the glory of God. Sometimes you'll be rewarded by earthly praise, sometimes you won't. But do it all for the glory of God. Lord, by this act, may many souls come to know you and love you. Just do it for God's glory. You won't receive an immediate reward, which is often what we're looking for. We're looking for the praise of others. We're looking for their gratitude, all that kind of thing. Or we're looking to notice that other people think we have a reputation for holiness. I mean, in every way, brothers and sisters, we're double-minded. But the Lord, by His Spirit, wants to give us grace. And part of the way through that is reading the Word of God daily until the Word of God begins to penetrate not only your heart, but your mind and your spirit. You begin to see more and more clearly God's motives. And there comes a time when you're doing things and you see that you have a choice. I can do it for this reason or I can do it for this reason. And it's simply the decision of your will. I do this for God's glory. If I receive praise for it, great. But I'm doing this for God's glory, which means if I don't receive any acknowledgement or any praise or any thanksgiving, I'm not disheartened because I want to give it as a pure sacrifice to God. So let's take a look at what the readings today tell us. The first one is from Paul to the Thessalonians, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. You recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and drudgery, working night and day in order not to burden any of you. We proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. As you know, we treated each one of you as a father treats his children, exhorting and encouraging you and insisting that you walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And for this reason, we too give thanks to God unceasingly that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. Paul is saying, you heard our teaching, and you received it as the word of God, not as the word of men. How does that happen? Faith. Faith. The increase of faith in your life to believe that God created you, God saved you, God holds you in the palm of his hand, and when these years of life on this earth are over, even though you die physically, you will live forever with God or in hell. So the important thing right now is that I learn as much as I can about him, my Father and my Savior. I learn about him by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and I seek to put into practice what he has taught me. So that when I listen to the scriptures, when I hear homilies, what I'm trying to do, sometimes I have to sift what's the word of men and what's the word of God. But what I want to do is, Lord, help me to take from this passage or from this conversation or from this homily, help me to take from this what you really want me to know and help me to live by it today. Some people take one scripture passage that's particularly important to them and seek to make it, in a sense, their passage for the year. It doesn't mean you don't read any other scripture, but this is the a particular passage is the one they use for an examination of conscience. It's one they use for, in a sense, a measuring stick of whether I'm growing in the spiritual life or not. Think about it. Be serious about this. Because what God is offering us is not the word of men, but as it truly is, the word of God. And we want to be able to receive it. We want to be able to receive it. And by the grace of your baptism and confirmation, if you really receive the seed of God's word in your heart and your mind and your spirit, then it will be at work in you if you believe. Otherwise, it lies dormant. Is there new life in your life? Is there new fruit being born in your life? Do you feel like you're going backwards? Do you feel like you're just running in place and not going anywhere? Take a look at your motivation. Seriously, take a look. Know that you have a Father and a Savior who seeks to help you if you will let Him. We want, in the end, brothers and sisters, to do the right thing and to think the right thing and to say the right thing for the right reason. Not that we will be perfect at it. Not that we will be perfect, because as Anne Voskamp said to us yesterday, we're weak, we're fragile. And the more we acknowledge that, it doesn't depress us. The more we acknowledge that, the more we acknowledge the truth, the more we open ourselves to the power and wisdom of God. Psalm 139, "You have searched me and you know me, Lord." I've often said this on the program, but how often do you read Psalm 139? It's a really good one to read a lot, that you might know the kindness of God toward you. Really, that you might see how much He loves you, that you might see how He fashioned you in your mother's womb, that before one of your days existed, He knew you and He knew the whole of your life. You have a free will. You can choose to believe that and live according to that. Or you can choose to say, I'm an accident in life. I'm just going to live out these years and then I'm dead and gone. That's it. What a depressing way to live. And it's false. It's utterly false. You have infinite value in the eyes of God. Infinite value. If you were the only person, I'm going to say it again, if you were the only person living on the face of the earth, God would have sent His Son to die for you. You are infinitely precious. Read Psalm 139. Read it carefully. You'll see. You can choose to say, Lord, You created me. You formed me for a purpose. I want to learn what that purpose is, and I want to live as closely to You as I can. Not only for my own salvation, but for the salvation of those I love. Please don't drift. Please make a choice. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 to 32. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Here's the theme again. Woe to you. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, you hypocrites. Saying one thing and thinking another, doing one thing and doing it for a totally different reason than it seems. All selfish, all self-focused, self-centered, self-oriented. Me, me, me. As I often say, me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. That's how we are. We're self-focused so much that we sometimes don't even recognize it until we ask God to change us, until we start reading His word, and then we see how self-focused we are and how myopic, as a result, our vision is. You have searched me and you know me, Lord. Where can I go from your spirit, from your presence? Where can I flee? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I sink to the netherworld, you're present there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me and your right hand hold me fast. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 27 to 32. This is the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Woe to you. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Always looking down on others, 'We wouldn't have done that. We would have revered the prophets.'" And then Jesus says something terrible to them. "Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out." In other words, you come from hypocrites, and you are hypocrites. And the worst of their being hypocrites was that they were scribes, they were Pharisees, they were teachers of the law. They prided themselves on who they were. They were whitewashed tombs. Why? Because they were doing what they were doing for their own glorification, for their own satisfaction. Jesus is asking them, how are they going to make up for their ancestors? Are they going to just agree with them and continue a hypocritical way? Or are they going to respond to the grace of God? Brothers and sisters, it's our serious problem. You know how you have few friends, most of the time real friends, because there aren't that many people that you can trust for their motives. You know they're seeking to get something from you. And they'll fawn over you and they'll tell you all kinds of wonderful things about you just so they can get what they want. Give them what is justly theirs. But don't get taken in by the plaudits, by the applause. Because brothers and sisters, all of us are very fickle. One day we can be right there for somebody else. But if the situation gets too difficult, then we disappear. We're fair weather friends. We're not true. God is looking for real disciples. And the heart of the new evangelization, the heart of it, is that we really are disciples of Jesus Christ, reaching out with the good news to others. Simple, clear, straightforward, so that the light of God may shine through us. If you're caught up in all the wiles of the world, all the ways of the world, all the webs we weave, so to speak, in order to deceive, as Shakespeare put it, lay it down before the Lord. Ask the Lord to purify your heart. Ask him every day. Ask him many times a day. And very gradually, you'll see a change. But if you persevere, the reward, so to speak, is deeper union with God, because God can enter into your life more fully because you're living a clear life for his glory and for his honor. And I pray that it may be the fruit of every one of you for the glory of his name and the salvation of many. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.